The first lesson for today is from the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold, bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The second lesson for today is from the third chapter of Luke. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah. John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved, and with you I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God speaks to Israel in our reading from Isaiah, saying, Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. We may remember that Isaiah is directed at a people exiled over and over, removed from their land. What exactly does it mean to be redeemed? Those of us of a certain age may remember redeeming S&H green stamps. Turn in so many and get something in return. To redeem a person in ancient times isn't so far from S&H stamp redemption functionally. People would get sold into servitude to pay off a debt. Professor Kathleen O'Connor explains to be redeemed, according to Israel's law, means to be bought out of human bondage by one's kin, a close member of one's extended family. A family member gave something over to get you in return. Imagine that you have been sold in order to pay off a debt. Perhaps you went willingly, giving yourself up so that the ones you love might have a chance. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you were a young, strong boy who could be of greatest value. You are taken to the home, to the land of your master, your owner. You lose your freedom. You also lose your hope. Hope of ever seeing your family again. Hope of ever seeing your home again. You may adapt to your new life, but you never get used to it. And then, one day, a familiar face appears in the fields where you are toiling, calling your name, saying, "You are mine." No longer someone else's, but your family's once again. With those three words, you realize you will walk the familiar vineyards again. You'll once again lay atop the roof from which you've watched the stars go by. Your feet will walk the worn road, which you know with your eyes closed, every rut, every curve. You will once again taste the freshness of the water from the well, to which you can go whenever you please, not only when permission is given. You will sit at the table again with your family around the unleavened bread and bitter herbs of the Seder. You will rejoin the traditions of your family, of your culture, of your people. You have been reclaimed from a hopeless situation, and suddenly, every hope you could have seems alive again. Because you have been redeemed. You have been called by name. You have been told, "You are mine." When you were bought, "You are mine" meant you were now a possession of someone else's. Your days were no longer your own, nor your work, nor your meals, nor your rest. When you were redeemed, "You are mine" meant your freedom had been bought for you and given to you as a gift. It meant the one who redeemed you had not given up on bringing you back. In reading about Jesus' baptism today, we are reminded of our own. Pastor Carter Lester describes our baptism, saying, "In the waters of baptism, we understand that God marks us and claims us as God's children." Put another way, in the waters of baptism, God says, "You are mine." And in the waters of baptism, as we trust we are being washed of sin, we understand that we are being redeemed. At Jesus' baptism, God speaks outright and says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." We have heard this story so often in multiple gospels, multiple times, that we might just assume that God speaks these words because of all the good Jesus has done. After all, we know what follows. Example after example of being right in God's eyes. Examples we seek to follow in following Christ. Up to this point in Luke, though, all we have learned is that when Jesus was 12, he stayed behind in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Beyond that, we read that Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. Jesus hadn't actually done anything up to this point. His baptism marks the beginning of his ministry. Yet God says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Again, we've heard this sentence in some form so many times that we may have forgotten to wonder. to wonder what it means to be beloved, or what it means for God to be well pleased. Beloved is agapetos in the original Greek, coming from the root agape, which is one of the ways of speaking of love. Another way to translate agapetos is worthy of love. God says, "You are mine, worthy of love." God continues as a voice from heaven saying, "En soi udokesa." We have read, "With you I am well pleased." We could also read this as, "In you I take pleasure." You are mine, worthy of love. In you I take pleasure. I doubt it will surprise you to hear God's loving words are for us all. None of us have been sold into slavery, but perhaps we've given ourselves into slavery. Slavery to jobs, to the expectations of others, to addictions, to pleasing others even when it means rejecting that which makes our hearts sing, that which gives us life. If you have spent your years giving your life to your job, if you have spent your years giving your life over for a life someone else thinks you should have, if you have spent your years giving up your life, God's familiar face is seeking you to tell you, "I have redeemed you. I am calling you by name. You are mine." In this season of fresh starts, what would it look like if you accepted the freedom of the life God has given you? That is a question worth asking, a life worth imagining. It's not only about our relationship with God, God's relationship with us, though. Jesus, our example, has called us to love God and to love neighbor. Who might you seek out with the gift of freedom? What if you picked one person this year to look at each time as worthy of love, to find the ways in which you take pleasure in him or her? What if you gave that person the freedom to be God's, to live for God's hopes and expectations and not yours? What might be redeemed between you? It could be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be the clerk at the store whom you see every Saturday morning, and maybe it's the person who loads heavy things onto your loaf of bread in the grocery bag every Saturday morning. It could be you. Start small. One person. Looking at one person as worthy of love. Finding the ways in which you take pleasure in that one person. Giving one person the freedom to be God's, to live for God's hopes and expectations, not yours. For many of us, this change of thinking is a big shift, and trying it all the time with everyone sets us up to struggle mightily. To which one person will you say, "You are mine"? Let us pray. Redeeming God, you have given us life again, redeeming us because you declare we are worthy of love. Give us the grace to do the same toward your children, our brothers and sisters. Amen.